राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे राधा श्याम सुंदर राधा श्याम सुंदर राधे जय कृष्णा बलराम जय कृष्णा बलराम कृष्णा बलराम जय कृष्णा बलराम जय घोरा निताय जय घोरा निताय घोरा निताय जय घोरा निताय घोरा निताय घोरा निताय जय प्रभु सदा जय प्रभु सदा प्रभु सदा जय प्रभु सदा
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिवाचार्य अस्तोतर श्री श्रीमाद श्री भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी शिव प्रभुपाद की जय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरी गौर भक्त वृंद की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. Jai Shri Shri Guru and Gauranga. Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Namo Vishnu Paya Kishu Vastaya Bhutra Vishnu Mate Kala Vanda Samvita Namo Sri Guru Shri Shri Sanjavari Jai. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 4. This is the chapter entitled The Atrocities of King Kamsa. Tam aha brataram devi kripana karunam sati. Shayam Tava Kalyana Striyam Ma Hantum Arhasi Tam Ahabrataram Devi Kripana Karunam Sati Snusheyam Tava Kalyana Striyam Mahantum Arhasi Tam Ahabrataram Devi Kripana Karunam Sati Shayam Tava Kalyana Striyam Mahantum Arhasi Tamaha Brataram Devi Kripana Karunam Sati Shayam Tava Kalyana अर्हसि महाव्रतरं देवी स्त्रियामहंसि महाव्रतरं देवी हंसि तामहाव्रतरं देवी कृपा न करुणां सती स्नुषेयं तव कल्याणा श्रियाम्मा हन्तुमर्हसि गोशाकी तव कल्याणी मतजी महाव्रतरं देवी कृपा न करुणां सती Aha said, Brataram, her brother, Devi, Mother Devaki, Kripana, helplessly, Karunam, piteously, Sati, the chaste lady, Snusha Iyam Tava. This child will be your daughter-in-law, the wife of your future son. Kalyana, O all auspicious one, Striyam, a woman, Ma, not, Hantum, to kill, Arhasi, you deserve. Translation? Devaki helplessly, piteously appealed to Kamsa, My dear brother, all good fortune unto you. Don't kill this girl. She will be your daughter-in-law. Indeed, it is unworthy of you to kill a woman. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kamsa had previously excused Devaki because he thought that a woman should not be killed, especially when pregnant. But now, by the influence of Maya, he was prepared to kill a woman. Not only a woman, but a small, helpless, newborn child. Devaki wanted to save her brother from this terrible, sinful act. Therefore, she told him, Don't be so atrocious as to kill a female child. Let there be all good fortune for you. Demons can do anything for their personal benefit, not considering what is pious or vicious. But Devaki, on the contrary, although safe because she had already given birth to her own son, Krishna, was anxious to save the daughter of someone else. This was natural for her. Om Gyana ज्ञातमिदं वस्या गिरिजनशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मया ददाति स्वापदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरुं श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगना रघुनाथं वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनं सहिता कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णापदं सहगना ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्णा कृष्णा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कंता राधा कंत नमस्तुते जय तम सुरतो पंगोर ममानंद मतेर्गति मत्सर्वस्व पदां भोजो राधा मनमोहन तप्त कंचन गौरंगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्राणमहानी हरि प्रिये पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। So I'd actually like to start out by apologizing to everybody and by just explaining that I know I'm not qualified to be up here speaking, and I see so many qualified people here, but I also want to explain that I understand that it is important to learn, and that's the reason why I'm actually doing this. But I also want to explain that I'm really not, learned in any way. I really don't know anything, and when I looked at this verse, I realized I even knew less than I thought I knew, just because I just couldn't find a whole lot to talk about, and this morning I had several thoughts of running away before, instead of coming here, but I'm going to do my best anyway, so I'm sorry if I offend anybody. I'm just, I really don't know anything. I wanted to start out by pointing out right here how it talks about, Srila Prabhupada talks about that a demon is capable of doing anything. Don't be so atrocious. Okay, looking for that exact line. For some reason, I don't see it right now. Okay, demons can do anything for their personal benefit, not considering what is pious or vicious. And it's actually interesting because Kamsa actually knew what was pious. He had previously excused Devaki because he thought, it says right here, that a woman should not be killed, especially when pregnant. He changed his mind really quickly. Because, of course, we all know that, he heard the voice from the sky saying that the eighth son of Devaki will kill you. So he got freaked out, and immediately, all sense of what was good and bad, gone, out the door, out the window. I wanted to point out, though, that it's really unfortunate that back then he even knew what was right and wrong. I wonder about today if non-devotees even know what's right and wrong, many of them. Of course, some of them do. There are some good people, there are some pious people, but I thought that it would be interesting, although a little bit gross, a little bit, I want to read a little bit about some of the different types of abortion, because I thought that it was similar to this. Kamsa, of course, waited for the baby to be born, but nowadays, they've become very expert in killing the baby even before the baby is born. So I have here, I pulled up a website that talks about some of the different types of abortion. Please excuse me, I know this is really like disgusting, but it's it also shows us how advanced Kali Yuga is. At 8 to 9 weeks, the eyelids have begun forming and their hair appears. By the 9th and 10th weeks, the preborn child sucks her thumb, turns somersaults, jumps, can squint to close out light, frown, swallow, and move her tongue. At this early stage of development, suctions are performed using a smaller tube requiring little dilation of the cervix. This is called menstrual extraction. However, if all the fetal remains are not removed, infection results, requiring full dilation of the cervix and scraping out of the womb. This is the most common method of abortion during the first 12 weeks of pregnancy, suction aspiration. General or local anesthesia is given to the mother and her cervix is quickly dilated. A suction curette, hollow tube with a knife edge tip, is inserted into the womb. This instrument is then connected to a vacuum machine by a transparent tube. The vacuum suction, 29 times more powerful than a household vacuum cleaner, tears the fetus and placenta into small pieces which are sucked through the tube into a bottle and discarded. This method is similar to the suction method. This is called dilation and curettage. Insertion of a hook-shaped knife which cuts the baby into pieces. The pieces are scraped out through the cervix and discarded. This abortion method should not be confused with a therapeutic DNC done for reasons other than pregnancy. At 12 weeks, by the end of the third month, all arteries are present, including the coronary vessels of the heart. Blood is circulating through these vessels to all body parts. The heartbeat ranges during this fetal period from 110 to 160 beats per minute. All blood cells are produced by the liver and spleen, a job soon taken over by the bone marrow. The white blood cells, important for immunity, are formed in the lymph nodes and thymus. Vocal cords are complete, and the child can and does sometimes cry silently. The brain is fully formed, and the child can feel pain. The fetus may even suck his thumb. The eyelids now cover the eyes and will remain shut until the 7th month to protect the delicate optical nerve fibers. So this is first describing like all the different things that the baby, all the development of the baby, and then it talks about how they kill him at this stage. It's very demonic. Actually, I don't think I want to keep going. This is really sick. Yeah, it's pretty gross, right? Yeah, and they're all really demonic like that, like scraping out the brain of the baby, and it's really disgusting. I couldn't think of anything else to talk about, right? So anyway, then there's, I'm not going to talk about that anymore, so I want to... contrast... That's what the demons are doing. And so many other things. Money, taking people's money, murdering. There's so much going on. It's a horrible world out there. Back then, we're reading about Kamsa, a book. Kamsa was a big demon that everybody was writing about. Now so many demons now could have their own scripture that we could focus on. So now, to differentiate, there is the devotee and the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava. I'd like to go through some of those. He is very kind to everyone. He does not make anyone his enemy. He is truthful. He is equal to everyone. No one can find any fault in him. He is magnanimous. He is mild. He is always clean. He is without possessions. He works for everyone's benefit. He is very peaceful. He is always surrendered to Krishna. He has no material desires. He is very meek. He is steady. He controls his senses. He does not eat more than required. He is not influenced by the Lord's illusory energy. He offers respect to everyone. He does not desire any respect for himself. He is very grave. He is merciful. He is friendly. He is poetic. He is expert. He is silent. These qualities all come naturally to the devotee as a result of his being fully focused on Krishna. It's not that the devotee has to focus first on all of these qualities. It's not that the devotee has to think, hey, I need to become a vegetarian. Let me join a vegetarian society. It's that first you develop love of Krishna, and along with love of Krishna, all of these other things come automatically. The devotee is very, very compassionate, and that's as a result of being in contact with the Supreme Lord and the super soul. The devotee realizes that the super soul is in everyone's heart, and therefore he becomes very merciful to all. In the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Prabhupada writes, a Krishna conscious person, being naturally purified, has no need of developing any other purificatory process of thought or action. On account of his being highly elevated in Krishna consciousness, he has already acquired all the good qualities, and his following the rules and regulations prescribed for the mystic yoga process. Such rules are automatically practiced by the devotee. A concrete example is the quality of non-violence, which is considered a good qualification. A devotee is naturally non-violent, and as you see, Devaki, even though her son was safe, she still wanted to protect the daughter of Mother Yasoda that was there, because she was naturally non-violent on account of her being such a great exalted devotee. And therefore, doesn't need to practice non-violence separately. Some people seek purification by joining a vegetarian movement, but a devotee is naturally a vegetarian. He doesn't need to practice separately in this matter or to join any society for vegetarians. He is automatically a vegetarian. There are many other instances showing that a devotee need not practice anything but Krishna consciousness. All the good qualities of the demigods automatically develop within him. Those who are intentionally practicing to be vegetarians or to become non-violent may have good qualifications by a material estimation, but these qualifications are not sufficient to make them devotees. A vegetarian is not necessarily a devotee, nor is a non-violent person, but a devotee is automatically both vegetarian and non-violent. We must conclude, therefore, that vegetarianism or non-violence is not the cause of devotion. I think also we can see from the example of Srila Prabhupada how at first he had joined the non-violent movement of Gandhi. But of course, Srila Prabhupada is a Nitya Siddha, an eternally liberated soul. So maybe he was doing this just to show us by example how at first he had joined his movement, and then he met Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and then of course he completely, you know, gave up following Gandhi and following that non-violent movement. And anyway, I'm really sorry, but I had a very difficult time, and I really I don't have anything else to say. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Yes, Gaurashakti.
You were talking, Raghu, you were talking about the 26 qualities of a devotee, and that last part you just talked about was about not separately endeavoring to acquire certain qualities. I guess my question for you or for the audience even is, can we then conclude that if someone does not possess these qualities, but they are externally practicing Krishna consciousness, that something's wrong? And if it is wrong, what is wrong? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like if someone seemingly is going, practicing Krishna consciousness externally, I mean, I don't know if they are or not, but I see them coming to the temple and I see them chanting rounds. But I don't experience, or in general, people don't experience these qualities of nonviolence, compassion, mild, meek, all these qualities that you, kind-hearted, then is something wrong. And I'd like to just explore that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess we're all just trying, and we're not there yet. We're not at the pure process yet. But if somebody else would like to comment on it, that would be great. Yes.
That's a very nice question, because down the road we're going to start reading Krishna's pastimes in which Pralambasura is involved. And Pralambasura, like Gaurashakti was saying, I mean, he put up a show. You know, he had a nice dhoti, probably a nice kurta, a nice tilak, everything. And but yet, Pralambasura was intended to kill Balaram and Krishna. And most of the other cowherd boys that were there around Krishna, they couldn't make the distinction. I mean, they just saw another cowherd boy, you know. So in our Krishna consciousness movement, sometimes we see people coming into the movement and they can put up a show, you know, for some time. I mean, we've seen that. There's a historical record of that. But you were saying there's supposed to be a purificatory process. The first symptom of devotional service is purity, is cleanliness, is cleansing. So we should have that assurance from Prabhupada that even though we may have so many faults, it is expected that down the road we get cleansed.
Hey, Ravana, thank you. You gave a nice lecture. It was nice to see many the boys like you to come forward, you know, learn the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and preach, get lectures. Anyway, you did very good. Prabhupada one lectures, he mentions there's the 26 qualifications of the Vaisnava with the Bhoti that we all have to develop gradually, and there's like a scale we have to gradually develop. That's the way we have to try, all of us, develop gradually all those qualifications. Prabhupada said we have to be patient and develop them gradually. I was listening to one lecture, Srila Prabhupada mentions all cancer, but I started laughing because Prabhupada said, all of a sudden there was a voice in the sky, and he said, you rascal cancer, you know, you're going to be killed. So Prabhupada felt the word when he said rascal. So of course in this material, everyone is a rascal, you know, because we forget Krishna. Anyway.
Yes, Mother Malati. Oh, they're going to bring the mic. Mother Malati.
So we were speaking very graphically about the demoniac activities of killing a child in the womb. And here in Florida, along the highway, they have these billboards that shows a little baby. My heart is beating in 18 days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, different Bill was attempting to put a reality into the consciousness of people passing by, that there's a living entity within the room, because somehow or other people are not understanding that point. They think it's just some tissues. And then they make it an issue about the right of the woman to control her body, as if this child is, you know, part of the woman's, you know, like, would she cut her, if her finger was infected, would you just, you wouldn't cut it off. But they're making these heinous choices. But then there's another demoniac behavior also that we can also understand, and that is preventing a soul from entering the womb in the first place, the contraceptive prevention. And we, from Srila Prabhupada, early on, we were understanding this behavior to be demoniac. Although nowadays it's frowned upon if you speak about it. But in fact, it is a demoniac thing to prevent a wandering soul from entering into a womb. And then you can imagine the child is to enter a womb and then it's blocked. Then suddenly there's confusion until it finds another situation. So we might wonder sometimes why so many children are nowadays born with so many predisposed mental challenges, learning disorders, autism, etc. I mean, just 50, 60 years ago, many of these words, they didn't even exist in our vocabulary. So it seems that there's some correlation between these activities, the contraception and the abortions, that are impacting the lives of living entities before they even have a chance to enter into this world.
Thank you, Mother. And then, of course, also a big part of it is the training once they're here. It's amazing, like the material world, there's so much out there just trying to brainwash. And of course, it's funny, Srila Prabhupada used to actually, when he used to hear brainwash, he'd say, oh, it's a good thing, washing the brain, you know, cleansing the brain, he would say that. But of course, you know, what people mean by brainwash is, you know, to, it's the opposite, it's actually to, you know, dirty the mind, actually. And the material world is constantly brainwashing. One example that I'm really cautious of that needs to be talked about a lot is this, I think, especially television. Kids should not be watching television on their own. All the commercials that come up, and there's so much nasty, filthy, disgusting things on television. And so that's something that's very, very important that I think some of us have forgotten about. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, because I work with kids, and, you know, they're exposed to all kinds of stuff. They're, you know, also listening to sound vibration. Our own kids are constantly listening to all types of, like, I don't know, Justin Bieber and, like, all this weird, like, and they're singing all nonsense, and maybe some parents think that it's innocent, that it's harmless, but it's not. It's not. It's horrible. And even certain kids' movies, like a lot of Disney movies, they're really disturbing. I don't let my kids watch most Disney movies because one of the things that they have this theme throughout that's follow your heart. Do whatever makes you happy. Forget everybody else. And then they like to show different, like, cultural examples. Like they have, was it Mulan? You know, Chinese. And so, you know, the Chinese had this whole culture of, you know, respect and, you know, marrying a certain way. And then, of course, then Disney brings into it, no, follow your heart. You know, marry who you want. Forget what your parents want you to do. You know, and So throughout, and they show so many different examples, and then they have the same theme throughout. So, you know, we really have to be conscious of that. And If your kids do watch something, I think it's really important to talk to them about it, because I spoke to a few other kids on a few occasions, and there was this one girl in particular who I had this conversation with, because she was reputed. All her friends said, "Oh, she watches a lot of television." You know, even for like all the other kids, she watched a lot more television than the average kid. And I talked to her about these different things and themes, you know, that came up, and you know, and dating rituals and whatever that are introduced, you know, through television, through these different shows to the kids. And of course, they have no defense for it, because they're just watching it and watching it and watching it, and they're thinking that that's the way that, that the world actually is. So, you know, it's really important to talk to them about it. I talked to her about it, and she said, "Wow, I never even thought about those things before." She said, "Thank you. Nobody's ever talked to me about it." This was an eighth grade girl thanking me for letting her know, you know, to be careful, and what some of the different themes were from television and how she needed to guard herself against them. Yes, Stita Dimini Prabhu.
Okay. Now, I was listening to a Prabhupada tape where the topic of abortion came up. And this was 73, and it was either in Bombay or in London, because they were on the same CD, and I can't remember which. So, in that exchange, it was a class, I think, he was saying, one reason why there's so many abortions today is because there's so many simple activities going on, and therefore these people, you know, they have to go through this process as part of the grand purification strategy. Mm-hmm. So if we're strategizing how to reduce these sort of nasty activities like abortion, I mean, it seems like our vision of what's going on here is significantly more complex than what comes out in contemporary debates. So I was wondering if you might want to comment on that.
Well, it's not that, you know, it's actually something that was mentioned. You know, we're not performing abortions. It's not that we're going out and, you know, blowing the clinics up and, you know, tying ourselves up to the clinics or whatever and doing so many different things. That's not our focus. Our focus isn't to stop abortion. Our focus is to give people Krishna consciousness. And automatically, as a result, you know, then you don't see devotees performing abortions. Yes, Pushkar Prabhu.
It was before you.
Oh, sorry.
So, the thing that we have to remember is that Prabhupada, in the preface to the whole Bhagavatam, he wrote that the Krishna consciousness movement is actually a cultural revolution. So, if we analyze that expression, cultural revolution, well then, first of all, it's a revolution. That means that the devotees in Krishna consciousness, the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, actually are at war with the cultural surrounding. Like you were all saying, the TV, the entertainment media, the schooling system, everything is there to actually pollute people's minds. And in fact, if you actually pay attention to the background of Prabhupada's purports, Prabhupada actually gave the benefit of the doubts to the masses of people. They say they are misled. All these people are being misled. And so, and Prabhupada, and even in, I think it yesterday's purport, the day before yesterday, Prabhupada's even blasting and condemning the politicians. Because after all, as all these cultural elements that you were quoting, that the devotees were quoting about how children are being polluted, this is under the control of politicians. And so, first of all, the Krishna consciousness movement, it's not that we go, like you were saying, it's not like we are going straightforward, confrontational with these people. But it is by spreading the teachings, by doing what we're doing all the time, by being in these programs. The only way people can actually taste something different than the TV entertainment and the movies and the music and all that stuff is only by being in devotional service. It's not a way. It's not a you know, some gimmick that we can come up with, some scheme that we can come up with. It's all here. All these contemplatives actually are dovetailed for that purpose. And a lot of the devotees who joined the movement early on kind of picked up on it, that this was a cultural revolution. And, you know, you were getting into it, and that's why many parents even became sort of negative about the movement in the beginning, because their children actually enter a so-called counter-revolution, you know, counter-culture revolution. And so we have to understand the thing that we are at war, basically, in a cultural sense.
Thank you. I was just going to mention how in 74 in New Zealand there were some devotees. They decided to blow up they wanted to blow up abortion clinics. First, they wanted to blow up a slaughterhouse, and they were making a bomb. These were not exactly ISKCON devotees, but they were working under Tushita Krishna Maharaj, and they blew themselves up big time, making this bomb, you know. And luckily, they were in some area where there was nobody around. They just blew themselves up, like there was a big parking lot nearby. There was nobody there. So that also escalated into something. Anyway, then Prabhupada commented and said it was such a nonsense idea, because even if they blew up that slaughterhouse, it means that will stop cow slaughter. We have to educate people from the get-go. You know, you just can't blow up the slaughterhouse. Then it's a pretty powerful lobby. Even they tried to sue Oprah, although she held her own. She has billions of dollars. But if you try to go up against the meat industry, for instance. But there is sympathy for anti-abortion, but like what Stitter was saying specifically, probably said the abortionists themselves are being killed again and again. The guys who are doing it, they're literally going to suffer so many times every time they abort some baby. Mm-hmm. That's why the abortions are increasing. Mm-hmm. Also, specifically, abortionist doctors are being killed.
And the only thing that can stop that is the chanting of the holy name, correct?
Well, just one last thing. I really admire that you came forward to give class, even though you said it's very uncomfortable for you. And I think maybe other, I'm old, that's why I'm saying younger, but younger devotees also should step forward to give class. I would think also that you'll take advantage of so many older devotees that are also here, and force them to say, hey, you know, Prabhuji, I want to learn so many more things about Srimad Bhagavatam, this and that. You can call on a push car and say, give me 1 hour, stop painting for 1 hour, give me 1 hour. So many other devotees. Prabhuji knows so many leelas, Srila Prabhupada, everything. And to corner them, Keshav also gives such a nice class. So you corner them and say, I want you to give me something. So each devotee like that, you get something, and then you have such a big repertoire of things to offer for Srimad Bhagavatam. Only other last thing is always remember, when you're giving Srimad Bhagavatam class, one group of people listening is your audience. And for them, if they're older devotees, you're appealing for their benediction. If they're devotees your equal level, then it's like ishtagosti sharing. If it's younger devotees or new person, you're giving your mercy to them by speaking Bhagavatam. At the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha Krishna also listening to this katha. Mahaprabhu used to go to Tota Gopinath every day to hear from Gadadhar Pandit Srimad Bhagavatam, and Snigdhakant and Madhukant used to recite the glories of Krishna before all the Brijabasis every day. So you have to remember, when you're speaking, they're also listening. So you have to speak for their pleasure. So in this way, only be mindful what degree of graphicness that you'll do. But I am so admiring you that in an uncomfortable situation, you'll step forward and have so bravery to speak Bhagavatam and Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada definitely give you so much mercy for this. Sure.
Thank you. Well, we're actually past the time, so I can run away now. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.